All right, turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Third book of the New Testament. I'm going to go to chapter 13, and I'm going to read the first five verses that are written there. Again, I read out of an NIV translation. Your translation might be a little bit different, but it's certainly the same message. Luke chapter 13, starting at verse number 1. Do you have your place? Let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Luke chapter 13, starting with verse number 1. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I pray that today, if there's a day of salvation for anyone in here, Lord, I pray today will be it. I pray for churches around the world today, Lord, that as they read the scriptures and hear the message, that for many it will be their day of salvation also. I pray that we take our Christianity seriously. And so, Father, I turn this message over to you and just ask that you be with the words that I say. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, last week, we started a new sermon series on spiritual gifts. And I stood right here last week and said that it was going to be a multi-week sermon series, possibly about 6 weeks, maybe more. And that I was going to preach it right through the Thanksgiving season and right through the Christmas season until we got done with the series. Things have changed. And I hope that's okay. But I was pretty adamant last week, wasn't I? I said, this is where we're going to go. Well, in light of the news that we all heard beginning Friday night concerning the ISIS terror attacks in Paris, France, my direction was changed yesterday morning to address in a biblical way this issue. And I want to cover this issue that has happened in our world today and next Sunday. Today we're going to focus our attention on those who perished and the other victims in this tragedy, which we see, and I'm going to compare that to verses 1 through 5 here in this text. And next Sunday, we're going to focus on how believers, how we need to respond to such events. And for that, we'll look at verses 6 through 9. So you already know the scripture that I'm going to go to next week. On September the 11th, 2001, radical Islam terrorist flew two jet airplanes into the Twin Towers in New York City. They flew one jet airplane into the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and one jet airplane crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. If you were alive at that time, you will never, ever forget that day. During the September 11th attacks, 2,996 people were killed. 2,977 of them were victims, and the other 19 were the perpetrators. These deaths included 246 victims that were in the four airplanes, 2,606 that were inside the World Trade Center or around the surrounding area, 125 victims at the Pentagon. Except for the 19 perpetrators in these events, the other 2,977 woke up on that beautiful morning, September the 11th, 2001, thinking it was just another beautiful day in September. As of yesterday morning at 9 a.m. when I was reading Fox News, the death toll stood at 127 people and another 180 were injured, again, in radical Islam ISIS terror attacks in Paris, France. Those 307 people and others woke up the morning of November the 13th, thinking that it was just going to be another beautiful day in November. In Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 31, through 21, excuse me, Jesus tells of a parable about a rich fool. Now, we did not read that here this morning, but if you want to go back and read that at some time, verses 13 through 21, chapter 12, a parable about a rich fool. And one thrust of that parable is the fact that many people, just like that rich fool, are far more concerned about their future possessions than what they are concerned about their future eternity. But in that parable, in verse number 20, which you can find on the front of your bulletin, Luke 12:20, it says that in the parable, the rich fool's life is going to come to an end that night. More than likely, it's going to be unexpected. The rich fool has no idea it's coming. And just like those on 9/11/2001 in America, and just like those on November 13th, 2015 in Paris, France, it was unexpected. The rich fool never saw it coming. And all those people, they never saw the end coming either. I know this. My day is coming. And your day is coming too. Perhaps that day will come unexpectedly. Perhaps it may come at the hands of radical Islam terrorists. Perhaps that day may come at the hands of cancer or a heart attack. Perhaps it may come at the hands of an automobile accident. Perhaps just at the hand of natural causes. Most of us, if not all of us, don't know how that's going to happen. Because most of us don't know the answer, how does today's scripture help us with that? Well, this morning I want to look at two biblical truths, and I'm going to add a few more next Sunday on top of it. So I hope all of us that are here today can be here next Sunday to get the complete picture of what Jesus is trying to teach us throughout verse number 9 here in chapter 13. Why is it important to know what Jesus is trying to teach us here? It's very simple. Our future possessions certainly don't depend on it, but our future eternity certainly does. In Luke 13, verses 1 through 5, what we read earlier, two stories are shared. The first one, in verses 1 through 3, is a story about some Galileans who were killed and their blood was mixed with their sacrifices. And the second little story that's told by Jesus in verses 4 and 5, it's about a tower in a city called Siloam. And this tower fell and it killed 18 people. We know nothing more about these incidents, and it's only recorded in this one gospel. But we probably have to admit, both of these incidents were not normal ways to die. In the first situation, more than likely some worshipers from Galilee were in Jerusalem, probably at the temple, and they were condemned by Rome because of their zealous religious activity. And because of that, they were sought out and they were killed in the temple by Roman authorities while they were so innocently just in the process of offering a sacrifice. We could compare that to a radical Islam attack today. We don't know when radical Islams might walk through that back door and just take us all out. There are people out there, my friends. I'm going to tell you something you already know. There are people outside these walls that will not and do not like me and you because of our Christian beliefs. We know that. Seems no different than the Romans who killed the Jews, who were doing nothing more than just practicing their own religion and sacrifice at the time. The second story that Jesus tells in verses 4 through 5 was probably some sort of accident. And this tower, which was obviously pretty tall, who knows how big it was, at Siloam, it fell and it killed 18 people. Let's admit it, fatal accidents still continue to happen today. But if we look at both of those stories, neither one of these are normal ways for people to die. And because of these two, it raised some questions in the minds of the Jews at that time, that why did these terrible ways of dying happen to these people? Well, here's what the Jews believed. The Jews believed that if something really bad happened to you, or you died in a certain bad way like this, that you must have been a really, really, really bad sinner. There are still people today who believe that. Let me tell you four things that are seriously wrong with that mentality or that way of thinking. Number one, it places certain sins at certain levels. And now, certain sins are now worse than others. Number two, hey, a person like me, I can judge that person according to that sin, and now I place them somewhere on a scale, how bad they are. Really bad to not so bad at all. Number three, I can compare myself with that sinner and their sin, and I will always find myself, for some reason, not quite as bad as they are. Because they're up here and I'm down here somewhere. And the fourth thing that's wrong about that way of thinking is now I can convince myself that I'm okay because I'm certainly not as bad as they are. But what is Jesus teaching the people here and what's God's word teaching us today in these two situations? Well, in verse number 3, Jesus says that the people who died in the temple were not any worse sinners than anybody else. He says that at the end of verse number, do you think that they were worse sinners than the other Galileans? And I tell you, no. And in verse number 5, he says the same thing, the exact same thing, about the 18 who died at the Tower of Siloam, that they were not guiltier than anybody else. So what does Jesus want us to learn about this? Well, we could say that Jesus wants us to learn this, that the severity, or at least what we think the severity of a person's sin, is not in proportion to the effect that it produces. In other words, the worse, the more worse, is there such a thing, more worse? The worse a person's sins are, or the worse his or her sins are, has nothing to do with how that person dies or even the hardships that they may go through in life. We learned that from the book of Job, right? go back to Job. Job was righteous in the eyes of the Lord, and all these terrible things happened to him. So the first thing we need to learn will be our first fill in the blank in the bulletin. We only have two of them here today. Is this. We need to forget about the severity of a person's sin. Everyone is a sinner. Everyone is a sinner. Romans 3:23. Everyone is a sinner. There's no one righteous, not even one. We need to remember that. And I think this crowd knows that. So what's lesson number two? Lesson number two, I'm going to give you a couple scripture verses and listen for the common denominator in all three of these one-line verses from the Bible. Matthew 4:17. Jesus says this, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus says this, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." In Luke chapter 5, verse 32, Jesus says this, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Did you hear the common theme word in all three of those verses? It kind of starts with the letter R and it ends with epent. Repent, repentance. And we know that John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, he was baptizing with water for what? For repentance. That's what he says. The word repent or some form of repentance is used 74 times in the New Testament. And repentance means that we must turn away. In the spiritual sense, it means we turn away from our sins. So why is repentance so important to Jesus in our reading today? And you'll notice that he uses the word several times. Fill in the blank number two. An unrepentant heart will perish. Very simple. An unrepentant heart will perish. On the other hand, we must remember that a true repentant heart will always be the true human response to a true salvation experience. A true repentant heart will always bear fruit, and we'll talk about that next week. Jesus was not concerned with how these people died physically. But he was concerned if these people would perish spiritually. Jesus knows that sin has its consequences. The wages of sin is death. And he wanted to make sure that his followers understood this. And that was lesson number two. So lesson number one, very simply, everybody's a sinner. Lesson number two, an unrepentant heart is going to perish. We know this. The wages of sin is death. It's going to be a spiritual death. An unrepentant heart is going to spend eternity in hell, separated from God forever. Here's the truth, people. I'll tell you something you already know again. Someday, I am going to die. Someday, you are going to die. We don't know when that is. The only important thing that you leave behind is your character. The only thing that you take to the grave with you is your belief system. So, what do you believe? On November the 13th, 2 days ago, there was 127 people who died, at least up till that time. There may be more. And there were 180 that were injured in some way. And who knows where those numbers are today. I wonder where those people stood with Jesus Christ. I bet you each and every one of them, if they didn't have a relationship with Jesus, thought, "I'll take care of this tomorrow. I'll take care of it next week. I'll take care of it later on. I'm too young. I'll take care of it when I grow up." There were people, all innocent people, who died in the World Trade Centers, in the Pentagon, in an airplane in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Maybe they were thinking the same thing. Let's get on this airplane. Let's go to California. Let's take care of business. Let's come home so I can be back home with my family. They never knew that today was going to be the day. And that's all a lot of bad news. And if you turn on any news channel, that's pretty much all we hear anymore, isn't it? Bad news. So let's share some good news here this morning. As a matter of fact, it's the best news we'll ever want to hear. Did you know that we could spend an eternity with God in heaven too? Isn't that good news? What do I have to do? As I look around this sanctuary here this morning, I have a real good feeling all of you know the answer to that. Each and every one of you knows the answer to that. We trust our eternity to Jesus Christ. We believe in his sacrifice on the cross. We believe that he died for our sins and he rose from the grave. We know that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And we know that he is not one way of many ways, that he is the only way. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. The way is narrow, and how many find it? Just a few. Just a few find it. I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question. A question that has an obvious answer. Have you found your way to eternal life? Have you found your way through Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 10, verse 13 promises this: all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We're saved from what? We're saved from ourselves. We're saved from this sinful nature that we've all inherited because some guy and some gal named Adam and Eve a long time ago really, really messed up. And I know what you're thinking. If that was me, I would have never done that. Oh, yes, we would have. But we never know, do we? When we might be in a building that gets devastated by a radical Islam terrorist who cares absolutely nothing for my life or your life. We never know when we might be driving down the road, just going visiting or going shopping, and another driver loses control of his or her car and hits us head on and kills us and all of our passengers. We never know. But I assure you, our day is coming. We just don't know exactly when that's going to be. A lot of people on September 11th had no clue. A lot of people in Paris, France, 2 days ago, had no clue. They go in to have a good time, to party a little bit. I have nothing against that. But they never come out alive. And that's sad. And I believe what Jesus wants us to learn is this: the way we live and the way we perish does not determine what our eternity is going to be. Our eternity is determined by one thing. What is our heart condition? And do we have a heart condition that is repentant? I'm going to do something here this morning that I don't do very often at all. Again, as I look around the sanctuary, it's all of our regulars here today. And I will say this: next week we're going to look at these tragedies from a Christian point of view. Today we looked at it more from a victim point of view. Are you okay? Are you okay with your eternity? Can you sit here, stand here right now and say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if those doors open right now and none of us walked out of here alive, I'm okay. Can you say that? Can you say that? I'm going to put you to the test. I want to see some hands. Can you say that here this morning? Say that here this morning? Amen. Amen. We need to know that, don't we? I saw a post on Facebook, and this particular person was frightened. I'll just probably use those words. This person was frightened. Yes, I'll be honest with you. I don't want those doors to open up and some radical person with an AK-47 come shoot me down. I don't want that. But I have Christ in my life, and there's something that I will never fear, where I'm going to spend my eternity. And you know what the nice part about it is? We'll all be there together. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I just pray that somehow that God can use this tragedy that happened in Paris to help people realize that you need to make a decision. Jesus makes it very clear. Either you're for me or you're against me. There are no fence sitters. If you're going to sit on the fence, you're going to fall one way or the other. And I hope and pray that you're going to fall on the side of Christ. It's never too late to make the decision. And I believe everyone in here has already made that decision. Praise God. I love you, Beech Grove. I really do. Let's go to God in prayer.